Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, recent news of a vaccine with over 90% efficacy has offered some relief in recent days and provided hope that life post-COVID-19 may be just around the corner. But how long will distribution of these vaccines take? And what adjustments need to be made to supply chain networks for this to be done safely and effectively? Well, to find out, we're joined today by Stephanie Krishnan, Research Director at IDC Manufacturing Insights, and Dr. Christopher Holmes, Managing Director at IDC Insights Asia Pacific. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
So as we head towards the end of the year, I think everyone is feeling a little bit more optimistic about 2021 on this news that we've seen, these vaccines that are coming out, Moderna, Pfizer, with over 90% efficacy. But you know, I've got to ask you both, from a logistical perspective, how soon could we actually see these vaccines roll out? Stephanie, perhaps you'd like to start.
Yeah, I think, from a logistics perspective, it will happen pretty rapidly, to begin with, at least. We are seeing that, you know, the likes of Pfizer and their distribution partners are starting to make inquiries to governments and the logistics companies to make this happen. However, I think the question is more about when we get beyond that first 20 or 40%, where, you know, depending on the density of a nation, where we're going beyond the cities and starting to look at the more urban or rural environments, especially when we're starting to get into the global south or you know, which is synonymous with developing nations. So you know, realistically, it's going to start soon, but it's going to take a while to get to that 100% or, you know, whatever the goal is for the various governments.
Yeah. And Chris, what are some of the key things that you're looking at when it comes to rollout for these vaccines?
Well, I mean, just to continue from where Stephanie finished, I mean, I think one of the key things that we're being challenged with is just the sheer scale. I mean, this is the first time that we're starting to talk about sort of global as something going out to every single individual on the planet. I mean, at least that's sort of what that challenge is. And so when we start to think around that, trying to actually manage that, trying to actually ensure that it's done in a manner that's effective and will you know, address the challenges of dealing with the virus as well as actually vaccinating the population, that is going to be that is going to be major. And also, I mean, Stephanie started to talk around the global south. I mean, the challenges we see there, particularly in the last mile logistics, and where we've also got to keep the vaccine at certain temperatures, and you know, one of the vaccines has got to be kept at an extremely cold temperature. That's going to be huge. I mean, we're talking about delivering to areas that don't really have stable electricity, stable power for cooling. There's challenges of sort of moving things by air, by road, by boat, you know, and also ensuring that the vaccine is actually kept so it's actually going to be effective.
We've seen mammoth investment from governments around the globe to secure supplies of these potential vaccine solutions. When the distribution network starts to actually move, what kind of scale are we looking at before we start to get into storage? And what would you compare this movement to?
You know, we've had IATA numbers of, if we're going to have a double dose vaccine, it's the equivalent of 16,000 flights, right, of Boeing 777s. We're talking about, you know, almost 8 billion vials. So we're talking some pretty huge numbers over the course of inoculating a planet. The other thing that probably we have to think about is the data that's required in managing this, because, you know, as Chris was talking about, ensuring the efficacy of the vaccine, making sure it's actually able to work by the time we get to end. So that means, you know, are we tracking the temperature at which it's tracked? Are we tracking who gets that? And then, you know, this has implications for travel and tourism when we're talking about travel bubbles and making sure we're able to track patients that have been inoculated. I mean, I don't think we've seen a scale like this before. And you know, the complexity and all the moving parts are going to require partnerships beyond single organisations, beyond single governments, like we've never seen before.
You know, the question about the scale, I don't think anyone has seen anything like this before. And this is the biggest challenge. I mean, before, when we've seen, by comparison, simple product rollouts, you know, people have used, you know, one or two logistics providers to actually get the goods from manufacturing to distribution points. But when we're talking something about this scale, it's going to require a fundamental change in the way that this actually happens. And this is one of the things that we've been talking around, this notion of actually developing this sort of ecosystem for for managing the logistics, because it's more than one single organization, whether it be a logistics provider, whether it be a government, it's more than a single organization can actually manage. So we're going to need to see this sort of coming together of all the different parties who may traditionally compete, but in this case are probably going to have to work together and share data to ensure that this is successful.
We're speaking with Dr. Christopher Holmes, Managing Director at IDC Insights Asia Pacific, and Stephanie Krishnan, Research Director at IDC Manufacturing Insights. Now, tell me then, speaking of the coordination that's needed, you've developed a blueprint to conquer some of these challenges. Can you tell us more about these recommendations? For example, the supply chain control tower and how that would help to bring everybody together?
Certainly, Rachel. From that perspective, we have, before you get to the control tower, we could just touch on a couple issues that have been exposed. People are talking about air freight and the constraints that have happened with, the fewer passenger flights that are flying. Mm-hmm. So therefore we have fewer, cargo opportunities or options available. We have implications for coal transportation. And I know that we've seen in the news that, we have dry ice capabilities and some rather clever shipping arrangements, but then, we need to look at the bottlenecks around dry ice supply and any constraints on supply. Then we need to think about the timing around e-commerce and Christmas and festive periods, which are going to cause competition on storage and shipping resources. The costs of this is all going to go up. And then we need to think, as Chris pointed out earlier, about the last mile, where, the actual point where the inoculation is going to occur. And in some places, Singapore, we have the luxury of quite widespread health facilities around the population. But in some countries, this is going to be, spread all over the place and probably in non-traditional points. So, bringing together that idea of a control tower is basically, it's not one piece of software or one platform. It's getting the parties, as Chris pointed out, to talk to each other and share that data, to be able to see it in real or near real time, to take action, to have that cohesive whole, so that they're able actually to see that path of ensuring the vaccine is valid and is distributed from the producer to the patient's arm.
And there are many elements as well. You briefly mentioned earlier Pfizer's vaccine, which needs to be stored at extremely cold temperatures. You've mentioned PPE there as well. We also need to consider, for example, emergency protocols. What are some of the key shifts that need to be made for mass vaccine distribution before we start to talk a little bit about how this will, what the next step will be after this in terms of bringing all of this together to get things rolling?
For a number of organizations, for a number of countries, a lot of this is going to be internal distribution. So they're not going to have to worry about the air freight aspect so much, but it's still, making sure that that truck delivery or the road delivery happens effectively. And along that, they're going to have to look at physical security and integrity. They're going to have to look at cybersecurity to make sure that people's, data protection occurs, that they're, information is protected. In terms of the drug delivery, they're going to have to think about, in-country warehousing, distribution centers, looking at the availability and the control of cold storage, and even, getting into timing and alerts, right? So how are you going to have, workforce scheduling to make sure people are coming in, patient scheduling, so that you don't have the crowding that's going to result in, more spikes of COVID cases. And as Chris pointed out, the reverse logistics, where we're starting to see, are we able to reposition vaccines to places where you might have excess, from excess to where there's not enough, putting in the appropriate insurance and payments in place for those countries that aren't able to actually afford to inoculate their population free, and they might require just be providing subsidies. So this becomes really complex.
So how far are we on the journey to all of these measures being integrated into supply chains to make sure that things are carried out safely and effectively to ensure efficacy of these vaccines once they're rolled out?
We're seeing approaches across the countries, but at the moment, I don't think we're seeing enough actually happen out there in actually managing this and coordinating this. We tend to be seeing more sort of focus around single shippers, single logistics providers. But as we talked about earlier, that's not going to be enough when we look at the scale as to what is actually required to ensure this is a success.
So, Stephanie, what do you think needs to happen next to move things forward?
Well, you know, as we talk about in the blueprint, you know, governments or some sort of lead logistics provider does need to step forward. We do think that there will need to be either regional or national leaders that do take control and start coordinating. And as Chris pointed out, this may mean coordination between traditional competitors. We may need to think about, you know, bringing together information in a way that we've never become before. And this could actually be a catalyst for very efficient and effective supply chain ecosystems that we can then build on post-COVID-19. So it's not, you know, those that put this together do stand to actually have a really great infrastructure from a country perspective. You know, putting together, you know, the other step that needs to happen is governments need to think about, you know, how they're going to prioritize this through customs. I mean, we had the incident, I think back in August, where the Canadian government had ordered some vaccines from China, but China hadn't released those for you know, use overseas yet. So getting this sort of coordination together. So it is going to need that government, you know, private, public-private partnership with you know, somebody taking the lead or somebody putting, you know, the infrastructure in place to make this happen.
And Stephanie, that's a really good point as well, because how do you see all of this really shifting? I mean, this is a huge milestone that we're seeing within the supply chain industry. Do you think this will really alter the direction in which it takes going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. We're already starting to see you know, massive changes from a digital transformation perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's increased acceleration of this with governments. I mean, the Singapore government alone, but regionally and internationally, we're seeing greater investment in digital transformation. And from a supply chain perspective, I think we're going to, you know, after COVID-19, see a supply chain that we probably, you know, wouldn't recognize as much from before, with greater, you know, information integration, greater, you know, digital transformation and automation. And the opportunities here are going to be quite significant for businesses post-COVID-19 as well.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share those insights with us today.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Stephanie Krishnan, Research Director at IDC Manufacturing Insights, and Dr. Christopher Holmes, Managing Director at IDC Insights Asia Pacific, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
Great. Well, Dennis, it's been absolutely wonderful talking with you this morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Rachel.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.